When she was 18, her father gave her the advice she needed to follow her dreams and become a writer. The next day, he had a heart attack and died in her arms. She did become a writer and a business owner and then a wife and mother. Today, after 13 books, a million of them in print, she's an award-winning syndicated columnist, a radio and TV host, and the owner of two successful companies. And now, Elise is here to help you rebuild your life. Stay tuned. This is gonna be good. This is the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Elise Glink Show. Live on Sundays, we are rebuilding America one house at a time. Andrew, in my headphones, I'm hearing a little bit of an echo. Not sure why. Our number, 404-872-0750. Much better, thank you. 1-800-WSB-TALK. You know, it's enough to hear myself once. God knows I don't want to hear myself twice. Lines are wide open. This is such an exciting day. I have so many important things to share with you. If you're not already following me on Twitter, go ahead, at Glink. I've been tweeting out some really amazing things. We're going to talk about all of them today. I want to start with the conference, the Real Estate Technology Inman Connect conference that I was at in New York all week. Very exciting things happening there. I really get a chance to see real estate technology that is going to transform how you buy or sell real estate early. As it's just getting started, they call it Startup Alley, and they've got a long hallway in the hotel ballroom, and you walk down and you look at everybody's eager faces, and it is just great to see everything that they're doing. Excuse me. So we're going to start there, but I want to just give you a little bit of a preview. I'm also going to talk about a story I wrote for my Yahoo Spaces blog the other day on, what day was the 17th? I think it was Thursday. Maybe it was Friday. Whatever. The days have all meshed together this week because I was away. But it's the story of a couple who had a devastating loss because of an arsonist. And their house went up in flames. And what happened with their insurance policy? And it is such a, it's an amazing story. It's a horrible, devastating story. But it's a great heads up to everybody who thinks that nothing's ever going to happen to them and how you need to protect yourself because nobody else is going to do it. So I've got that for you as well today. And then we're going to also get to some breaking news from the IRS. The IRS, which normally opens for business this weekend and has not, is not opening for business until the end of the month. The latest in IRS history that we can ever think of, the IRS has released an app that is going to do some amazing things for you. And I, by app, I mean like you download it onto your phone or your iPad or your computer, and it's going to allow you to have a snapshot of what's going on. Tax records that I believe have never before been available. And Bill Nemeth, who is an enrolled agent who comes on the show and does all kinds of tax stuff with us and with Mary Brody and with Chet Burgess. He's going to come on and tell us exactly how it works and what you can expect. It's free. It's from the IRS. I have some questions about safety and security, and hopefully he has the answers, and we're going to get to that as well. So it is a packed, packed show. Packed. So sit down, get a cup of coffee, and get comfortable because we got a lot to talk about today. And we've got your questions as well, 404-872-0750. So let me give you a very fast snapshot of what I saw at Inman Connect this week, which was so interesting. First of all, if you think that we're not still innovating in the real estate space, we are. 25 years ago, wow, I think about that. That's a really long time. 25 years ago, when Sam and I were getting married, wow, that is also really hard to say. Anyway, we wanted to buy a place, and my mother, as you know, was a great broker in her day. She's still a real estate broker, but back then she was just, you know, one of the top in terms of sales. And we wanted to see what was out for sale. Well, you couldn't go to the internet. There was no internet. Every time I say that to my kids, Alex and Michael, they look at me like I'm on planet Mars or something. But there was no internet, right? There was no way to actually just go and search for the home you want or the rental property or anything else you wanted. So what did you do? You went to the real estate agent's office, and they had a huge book that looked like a phone book. And in Chicago, where I'm from, it had a yellow cover. And the inside were really, really, really thin newsprint pages. And there were black and white photos with like two sentences about the properties, and they only reprinted the books every, get this, 2 weeks. 2 weeks. That was it. And so the information had to be gathered prior to that. So when you, what you were looking at in the realtor's office, and let me just tell you, there was no way, no how, were they going to let you take it out of their office. It was like pain of death. And my mother would sneak us books that were like a month or 2 months old, which by then the information was like 3 or 4 months old. She's like, don't let anybody see this. Put it in your bag. That's how you shopped for a home. Anybody listening to this broadcast right now who's under the age of 40, that must think I'm out of my mind. But I promise you, that is how you shopped for a home. So I'm walking at Inman Connect, which is where real estate and technology meet up. And I think the conference itself is now like 20-something years old, which in itself is amazing. And I'm listening to Arianna Huffington, who's giving a keynote and talking about the future and innovating. And I'm listening to some of these other people, and they've now got it set up like a TED Talk, which I don't know if I'm so much of a fan of that. I mean, I love TED Talks, but sometimes when you're listening to something that's new and deep, you really want to go deeper. And I'm not sure in, 8 minutes you can get there. But whatever. That's quibbling. Anyway, I'm listening to these people talk about their technology, and I'm realizing that the pace of the new technology that's coming into the market is huge. So for Better Homes and Gardens Realtors, I was listening to Sherry Chris, who's the CEO of Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate, which is one of the Realogy brands, which used to be called Cendant, and it's in Parsippany, New York, and it's Century 21, Coldwell Banker, ERA, Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate, and who knows what else. And she's on the dais with a guy named Boo Boo. Not Honey Boo Boo, some other guy named Boo Boo. He's, I think, I don't know where he's from. Maybe he's from Africa. I don't remember. Really cool guy. Anyway, he's talking about how he left what he was doing, which was a great job. I think he worked for CBS News Interactive. Hello, I write for CBS News Interactive. But our paths hadn't crossed there. And he was really into video, and he decided that he was going to come up with a plan to make video much more accessible for real estate. Now, why he picked real estate instead of cars or something else, I don't know, but he picked real estate. And he went around and he met Sherry Chris, and she has been looking for a video solution, because when you first heard about the promise of the internet and everything, video was a big part of that, but the bandwidth just wasn't there. And then Google bought YouTube, which was also like a million years ago, for like $1.6 billion, if you can believe it. And at the time, everybody like nearly passed out from how much that was. And YouTube started to kick into gear, and bandwidth started to expand, and video became bigger. But it still hasn't been that big. You know why? Because it's really hard to scale it. It's really hard to make it big so that everybody can put up whatever kind of video of their house they really want. And realtors are not videographers. It's not that you can't take a picture with your phone or a decent enough video. Everybody's phone, well, I'm going to not say everybody, because I'm sure there are people out there with flip phones or candy bar phones, as they used to be called. But, if you've got an Android or if you've got an iPhone, and which is like a lot of the country now, you can take a really decent video. So you could take a video, but then you have to know what to do with the video. And, as many of you know, I was a television reporter for 9 years, so I'm a little personal about my video. Let's just leave it at that. Anyway, so Sherry Chris and Boo Boo were sitting on the stage talking about how she really wanted a solution for her 10,000 agents around the country. And he wanted a solution. He wanted to find a partner who really understood the power of video. Because what he's done, which is, I'm telling you, not the first time I've heard this, but maybe he's a better innovation. It's a better mousetrap on this. He has found videographers across the country who go out, and instead of shooting the houses, they shoot the neighborhoods. Because you can shoot a neighborhood once, and then real estate agents can use that same footage 1,000 times in different ways. They can pull pieces of it and put it in. And then they can take the digital photographs that everybody, the realtors, when you go sell your house, they come and they take a million pictures. They can take all those pictures and they can videoize it, which for my money isn't real video. But if you're looking for a scalable solution that helps, not too bad. And then they add some cool graphics. And so voila, a little music, some video of the neighborhood, and this, and they think they found a solution. Is it going to be perfect? I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. But what I know is that when you have people who really know content, which anybody who's worked at CBS News or ABC or NBC or CNBC, you've worked in that news organization, you really understand how to tell a story. And this is what the internet has become really good at doing, telling stories. Telling the story about your business, about your house, about your life, about who you are as a person. The tools are there for you to tell your story. And real estate agents need to tell the story of a house, and they need to tell it in a way that makes somebody be able to recognize something in themselves as being happy to live there. Because when we go and buy real estate, we are buying a dream. And it's not the great American dream, although that is part of it. What we're buying is the dream of our future happiness. We're buying the dream that we can go home and feel safe and secure, and we can raise our families, and we can develop lifelong friendships, and we can sink roots into a community and feel a part of that. And that dream is at the essence, I think, of why so many people want to buy houses. And you could call it the Great American Dream. I think it is part and parcel of it. But it is a real estate agent's job to package up that dream and to put it out there so that you as a buyer can find it. And that as a seller is what you're hiring. And so these kinds of tools that come along help tell the story. And that's why technology has been changing real estate. There wasn't much of a story 25 years ago in that yellow phone book that was a month and a half old that I had to imagine. I had to use my imagination. Imagine that. I had to imagine what life was going to be like living in any one of those properties. And it was pretty darn hard. And this brings it to life in color, motion, and I go in, I can literally go in the video, and I can have a, I have to use much less imagination, which for buyers is really good, and I can spend the time thinking about who I am and whether that's a good fit. And that's really a great role for technology in real estate. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Glink. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. We'll come back and do calls next on News Talk WSB. It's 25 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. 404-872-0750. Let's go to the phones. Tracy joins us on the line. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Elise. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. Love your show.
Thank you.
I have a question. My wife and I inherited a substantial amount of money recently and from her father. And the man of faith in, well, he was based in Washington. His financial advisor, you know, I think did a pretty good job for him.
Okay.
So he's flying out to our home at St. Simon's in about a week, and I'm just wondering, what's an appropriate percentage to pay him for his services?
Well, what is he going to do going forward? Are you going to keep the money with him?
Well, that's the plan.
Okay. I think that's smart, by the way. My mother's financial advisor has done amazingly well for her, and she always says, you should keep it with Michael as long as he'll let you. And I'm like, Mom, he's like in his 80s. I mean, I don't think we've got a wide open field here. But I think that's the first question is, you know, how old is he? And is this somebody that you can keep it with long term? So short term is fine. You should ask him what his fees are and what your father-in-law was paying. He may have a set fee, and then you have to look at what the rate of return is relative to the fee. And if it's way above, sure, you know, keep it with him. You may be able to negotiate. My sense is if you just ask what the fee is and then just say, is that the fee that you give your very best customers, you'll know instantly whether it is or if it isn't. And then that will be fair. But I would make sure you understand exactly what fees are involved. Not just his personal fee, But if he's affiliated with a company, how much you're paying the company by having the investments in those investment classes and what you're paying for all of those. And then have him delineate that in writing so you can really study it and think about it and see how much you're really making. That's going to be the key. Tracy, thanks for your call. I'm so sorry that you had to inherit money through a loss, but that is how it happens. I'm Elise Klink, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. It's 11:36. Welcome back to the Elise Klink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. We have a few more things from Inman Connect to talk about. We're going to take your calls, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I have an amazing story I wrote last week, or earlier this week, on my Yahoo Spaces blog about a devastating fire that burned down a couple's house and what happened to them and how it happened and what the response has been, which is really remarkable. We have that coming up. And then there's some breaking news from the IRS, and Bill Nemeth is going to come on a little bit later on in the show and talk about that. So really, I know it's a holiday weekend, but boy, do we have a lot going on. Some lines are open, 404-872-0750. Alan joins me on the line. Alan, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning. How can I help you today?
I just have a question. I recently bought a house, and a friend recommended that I buy a home warranty. And I've tried to do some research and have found real mixed opinions on the Internet. What is your feeling on that?
So there are two different kinds of home warranties. There's new construction home warranties where, did you buy a new construction house?
No.
Okay. So the new construction ones, a lot of them come from the manufacturers, and the builder gives you usually a year or so. You bought an existing home or an older home, or Clark Howard sometimes calls them a used home. Nobody really calls them that except Clark, but, you know, a used home. And those homes often will come along with a home warranty, which sellers use as a sales tool. So in your case, you didn't negotiate to have the seller or the agent provide you with a home warranty, which I think is really the best way to go, because they have sort of limited use after you buy the house, right? So in a typical year, you will place 1.2 calls, this is an average, to a home warranty company. And a home warranty which acts like an insurance policy but isn't typically regulated by the insurance commissioner, though sometimes it is, it depends on the state. What it does is it's really a service contract. So you're buying a service contract, so at an 800 number you can call, and they will send somebody out to fix or replace whatever's wrong, as long as it was working on the day you bought your house, right? So it's typically a product that you buy before you close on the property or when you close on the property. So how long have you lived in the house?
About a month.
Okay. So you would buy this thing, and it might cost you between $300 and $700. There's add-ons if you want it to include things like a swimming pool. Typically, it covers the mechanical systems, so your washer and your appliances. So your stove and your washer, dryer, your HVAC systems, that kind of thing. So they come out, they do an inspection, and then you buy the property, you buy the warranty. And then if something goes wrong within a year, you call the 800 number and they come out and they fix it. But every time they come out, you pay a service fee. And the service fee can range from $50 to $100. And then if they have to replace it, there may be another fee on top of that. Or they tell you it's not covered under your warranty. So then you paid for the service call, but they don't come out. So that's kind of how it works. Now, do I think it's a good idea? I think if you're buying a house and the seller's giving it to you as a bonus, it's an excellent idea because you don't have to pay for it. You only have to pay for the service fees. But if you're going to, now you're living in the house and you have to front the cost of it, you have to be very careful to buy one and then read the fine print, just like you would with an insurance contract, to make sure that you're actually getting something of value and that you're not paying $150 a pop to have somebody come out and you know, fix it or replace it, and you may have a fight to get them to replace it when they say they fixed it and it doesn't get fixed. There have been service issues with different home warranty companies, but a lot of homes are now sold with them. So does that answer your question?
I think so.
I mean, I can't give it a wholesale recommendation because a lot of this is going to depend on how good the condition is of the house and what was working, not working on the day that you actually buy this thing. And then I don't know which contract you're going to buy and what company, but I would certainly look into the complaints and choose a company that has had fewer complaints, right, than one that has not. And by the way, Better Business Bureau, I'm not wild about what they're doing now with the whole complaint issue. So I would look, you're smarter to look on Google and then type in the name of the home warranty company, not the name of the service contract. You know, they may call it something, but you got to look to the underlying company that is actually going to be doing the service calls. And if it's Housemaster or, you know, another big brand name, then you know what you're getting at least. But if it's like some little company that's just sort of doing it, I would be very circumspect.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for calling the show, Ellen. I hope it works out for you. 404-872-0750. This is the Elyse Glenn Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time. 1-800-WSB-TALK. Jake joins us on the line. Hi, Jake.
Good morning. I don't know if this is a segue into the previous caller's call, but do you have any insurances? Are there insurances that would cover heating and air conditioning systems and that type of thing, or appliances in the house? Is that a legitimate insurance concern?
So as I was saying to Alan, and this is actually a great follow-up question, so, you know, kudos to you for calling with this question exactly at this moment. You know, the home warranty is really the thing that covers it best. Now, if you have homeowner's insurance, which you need if you own a home, that typically doesn't cover appliances or the HVAC system unless there is some sort of an event that causes an issue in the house. So if you have a fire and the appliances and the HVAC system go, or if you have flood insurance and you have a burst pipe and it covers both of those things because you have flood insurance. Regular homeowner's insurance doesn't cover floods, but you can buy a separate rider for that. Or if a tree falls and a gas line ruptures and your house blows up, yes, that regular insurance will cover all of that, right?
Yes.
But just for service contract issues, a homeowner's warranty, is probably the closest that you'll get to it. But as I was explaining to Alan, there are a lot of loopholes in these coverages, and not everybody's happy. And you may or may not get somebody good. So I've never had a homeowner warranty. I had one when we redid our house. And again, you know, when you buy new construction, we didn't buy new construction on this house, but we redid the whole thing. You get the builder gives you a homeowner's warranty, and then you've got underlying warranties from, say, the roofer and the roofing contractor. So and I'll just sort of tell you the story to show you. First of all, it just depends. You know, anybody who bought like a new house in 2007 and then your builder went out of business, you were kind of out of luck, right? You were SOL because whatever warranty the builder gave you, they were out of business. Who was going to do the work? So a lot of this is, it's only as good as the company that stands behind it. But when we redid our house, we got a really nice roofing material, and we called the company and we said, give us a list of your approved contractors. And we actually used one of their approved contractors for the roof. And you know what? They totally put in the roof the wrong way.
Wrong.
And so the first winter, after we put on this new roof, which was not inexpensive, mind you.
Yeah, I know.
We had a huge ice dam in our house in Chicago. I mean, a massive one, massive leaking, and it caused a huge amount of damage into our brand new, newly finished house. And boy, were we mad. So we called the company, and we're like, hey, you know, and because I'm the consummate journalist and I'm constantly documenting everything, I had taken about a million pictures because I thought it was really cool how they were putting on the roof.
Yeah.
So we went back And we showed, the company's like, no, 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 we put it on correctly. And Sam, who's, you know, a real estate lawyer, and was like, no, no way did you put it on right. This wouldn't have happened. We had the pictures to prove it. And so they came back, because it was a really big company. They came back, ripped off the roof, fired these guys, took them off their roof lift. And sure enough, they had not put on the roof to... Right? But the underlying warranty, the roofer, manufacturer, actually stood up behind the product.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, that was a good story with a happy ending, except that we ended up replacing our roof twice in 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a really big pain in the neck. But, yeah, aside from that. So, go ahead.
And the wetness inside the house.
Yeah, and then we had to fix the whole inside of the house, and, you know, we had a... It was a mess. I'm telling you, when I tell you that the water was pouring, it was like a waterfall in the middle of our house from this ice dam, which had sort of inched its way under the roof line because there was no ice and water shield, which in the north is an absolute must to wrap around the edges so that it does not do that. And it wasn't there. And it came in, and literally we had a waterfall for weeks as the ice started to melt.
I can imagine.
It was like a foot. The ice had formed in the attic because, again, they hadn't put on the roof correctly, had formed a foot thick. And our architect came over, and bless him, he crawled into the attic in the crawl space at midnight one night to figure out how the water was getting in and how thick it was. And then he realized why we were getting this waterfall. It just was, I mean, now I look back, you know, and I'm like, oh, it's hilarious. But, you know, it wasn't that funny in the middle of the night when it was freezing and we were all up in the attic.
Oh, not at all.
So anyway, so to go back, you should just be really cautious. Again, it's all about what they cover. Read the fine print. This is a policy where you absolutely have to read the fine print, and it is required to spell it out. And then you should try and find out whether this company is regulated by the Georgia Insurance Commissioner or a different or not at all, and figure out who would be ultimately reading those policies and then approving them for sale to the public, because that's, if you have a problem, that's where you're going to go back.
So just to recap, we're looking for a homeowner's warranty. Is that what we're looking for?
Yes, it's a homeowner's warranty if you want to cover the appliances. And
yes,
it will only cover things that are working in perfect condition, and they send somebody out to test the day that you purchase the policy.
Yes.
Okay?
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling the show. Have a great weekend. Hope it's a long weekend for you. 48 minutes past the hour. I'm Elyse Glenk. 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. We still have Bill Nemeth coming up with this breaking news from the IRS. That's exciting stuff. Stick around for that. I'm Elyse Glenk. Rebuilding America, one house at a time. On News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elyse Glenk is live and here to guide you through your money and real estate questions. Only on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
55 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB. I'm Elyse Glenk. Rebuilding America, one house at a time. Starting with yours. 404-872-0750 is our number. Beth Ann is on the phone from Loganville. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Is it Beth or Beth Ann?
It's Beth Ann.
Beth Ann. Sorry about that. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So you heard me talking about home warranties and insurance policies, and I understand you're an insurance agent?
I am an independent insurance agent in the state of Georgia.
Okay. And how do you want to weigh in here on this discussion?
Well, I wanted your listeners to know that an independent insurance agent has access to insurance companies who offer equipment breakdown on an insurance policy. And for the most part, and I'd have to look at an individual policy contract to answer on a per policy basis, that for the most part, a claim against your insurance policy for equipment breakdown is not going to affect your rate.
Okay, so let's start with equipment breakdown, because that sounds like it more of a commercial policy than a residential.
No, it's home. It's just called equipment breakdown. That's just the term that the insurance companies use.
And what is it supposed to cover?
Well, I'm at home cleaning my kitchen right now, so I can't read you a contract, but I would be able to. And what I'm also wanting the listeners to know is that an independent insurance agent is another place where they can call to discuss their concerns about coverage on heating and air conditioning systems, if it's mechanical breakdown, things like that, large appliances in your household.
Okay, and so this covers that, and you pay, I'm sure, your deductible for it?
Well, each policy with the different companies apply different deductibles or charges. Of course, they're going to charge for it. But
and is this something that you typically recommend? Because I can imagine it not being worthwhile.
Well, it is for the larger smart homes. People who have very automated homes now,
mm-hmm.
with large central stations that run all their music, their alarm system, computer systems. There are some pretty sophisticated houses out there, and I would think it would be a very good value for that high-value home insured.
Okay, but this isn't like something that you would buy if your stove breaks, you're going to call on an equipment breakdown coverage.
Well, once again, I'd have to look at a particular...
But the ones that you have sold and you've seen, is that what you would say it was designed for?
It is designed for equipment breakdown in the house, like an appliance, yes.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing. I appreciate it. Good to know. Our policy and our company does not offer equipment breakdown coverage. So, good to know. I'll try and research it and find out a little bit more about it. And if there is a link on the Insurance Information Institute, III.org, website, which is run by my friend Loretta Waters, I will be sure to put that link out on Twitter. So, follow me on @Glink and get that information. Thanks so much for your call. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink, Rebuilding America, one house at a time. Bill Nemeth is coming up next to talk about this news from the IRS. They are releasing an app that is going to let you in and see some really cool stuff that you have never been able to see before. We're going to talk about that coming up next on the Elise Glink Show. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB.
She was 18. Her father gave her the advice she needed to follow her dreams and become a writer. The next day, he had a heart attack and died in her arms. She did become a writer and a business owner and then a wife and mother. Today, after 13 books, a million of them in print, she's an award-winning syndicated columnist, a radio and TV host, and the owner of two successful companies. And now, Elise is here to help you rebuild your life. Stay tuned. This is gonna be good. This is the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. We have something very exciting I want to talk about right now. We will go back to the phone, so if you've got, there are a couple of lines open if you want to get on. Wait, 404-872-0750. We will get to you. But I've got Bill Nemeth on the phone with me now. Bill is an enrolled agent, and he is licensed to represent taxpayers before the IRS. He and Mary Brody and Chet Burgess, also enrolled agents, come on a few times a year and talk about tax. But Bill emailed me over the weekend to say that there was breaking news with the IRS. And truly, I think he's exactly right, because the IRS released an app this week for your phone or your computer or your tablet that is called Get Transcript. And what it allows you to do is view, print, or download your transcript online and in real time using your computer or smartphone. Bill, welcome back to the Elise Glink Show.
Thank you very much. It's fun to be here.
Yeah, it's fun to have you on board. So what is this? What is a transcript?
A transcript is a number of things, because there are different types. But the new breaking news is the fact that although taxpayers could go into an IRS service center and request this in person for years, they now, in the privacy of their own home, can pull all of this information down in real time. You can get your tax filing history. You can get a copy of your tax return. You can pull all of your income for any tax year back about 6 years to make sure that you reported all your income. And for reference, there's also a verification of non-filing where the IRS will have in there you did not file a return. They don't say you had to or didn't have to, but you can. So
now, how does the IRS make this kind of thing secure? Because this is some of your most personal financial information. And the fact that you can look at it and download it to a phone, which you might then lose, makes me so nervous.
The good news is when you set up an account for yourself, basically you put in your name and your date of birth and your social, and then you go through a series of challenge questions that only you will know the answer to. Once you get through that, you then establish an account with the IRS, only for yourself, the taxpayer. And once that account is established, you can then sign in at any hour of the day or night and pull down account transcripts for the back to 2006, which would be the history of every year, whether you owed money or not, whether or not you got an IRS letter, all of that kind of thing. And you can also get a copy of your return, which is called a return transcript. That is something that you may need to give to the FAFSA people for scholarship application, or for those folks that are doing mortgage applications. This allows them in real time to present that information to the mortgage broker rather than waiting 4 weeks for the IRS to mail it to them. And it's, best of all, it's free.
So you go to, do you go to the to IRS.gov, or do you go to the Apple store and go to IRS? How do you do it?
Okay. To set up the account, you go to IRS.gov, and in the search bar, you put get space transcript. And that will take you to the location where you can set up your individual account. And later on, once you've set up your account with a username and a very strong password, you can go in there at any time and pull that information down.
Wow, I think that's pretty amazing.
It's outstanding, because the only people formerly able to do this was the IRS when you were standing there, or a enrolled agent, a CPA, or a lawyer who had a power of attorney on the client and had access to a very secure package known as e-services. So this is good news, bad news. The taxpayer now has access to all this information. The bad news is it's in IRS speak. So when they see the codes, they don't make any sense. The simple way is just to Google IRS code and put the number, and you'll find a site that will tell you what it means.
Okay, so you think that this would be most helpful for who?
A number of people. Folks that may forget they have done estimated taxes, they can set up this account, and the account transcript will actually tell them how much estimated tax the IRS has on record for them. It has to do with if people have moved and they're not sure they got all their income documents, they may want to pull their wage and income transcripts just to make sure they got all their W-2s, all their 1099s. For the folks that we call troubled taxpayers, this allows them to look at the IRS records quietly or in stealth mode and see how much problems they may have with the IRS.
Wow.
That's kind of cool. And it's, you know, it's a stealth inquiry. Nobody is going to even look at the fact that they looked.
Hmm. So that's actually great, because it really is your private conversation as a taxpayer with the IRS, which is the tax collector.
Exactly.
Well, that's actually very helpful. So there seems to be a lot of uses. What about security? Did you actually pull it and look at it? And other than the fact that it's got a lot of numbers on it, and it's got some amounts, does it have your personal financial information, like your name and your Social Security number, on the same page?
Absolutely. If you pull down your tax return transcript, it is a condensation of what was on your tax return. And so you have your name, your address, your spouse's name, address, social, and it has the last names of your dependents, first four characters, and their social.
Okay, so the socials are full? It's not just the last four digits of the social, it's the full social?
Full package.
What were they thinking?
One
really?
Has to wonder.
It's not bad enough with Target. Now we have to worry about all of the IRS stuff we're going to download. So I don't know if I can recommend that people download this to their phones or their iPads, because what if that's just crazy.
Well, it is coming down from an HTTPS website, which says it has 128-bit encryption. You can either view it as a PDF, download it as a PDF, or print it as a PDF.
Right.
And it's only your package.
Okay, but Bill, I lose my phone. Somebody steals my phone. I lose my iPad. Somebody cracks the code on my iPad. My computer gets hacked. It's a little dangerous, right?
Well, every time you sign on, you have to put your username and a magic password that is a very strong password. So that likely you should never save in any of your devices.
All right. So what we should say to everybody is use with caution.
Enjoy it with caution. The other thing I'll suggest that is kind of cool, if you are a victim of tax identity theft, you can actually print out the fraudster who printed out your return and see what they did. Not that it helps you at all, but it gives you a little more closure to see that they used some blank lot in Austin, Texas as their mailing address and had your refund that they jinxed up put onto a cash card.
That's
You'll be able to see that as well.
All right, so go to the IRS.gov. In the search engine, type in get space transcripts, and that will walk you through the beginning part of this, and at least that's a place to go. Do you have time to answer a tax question for one of our callers?
Absolutely.
All right, hang on a sec. Steve, are you with us?
Steve, yes.
Steve from Lilburn, welcome to the
yes.
Elise Klink Show. You have a tax question? Maybe Bill can give you a hand here.
Yeah, I'm a troubled taxpayer. I was working in Atlanta and got laid off. It took about a 60% tax, or excuse me, 60% income cut and moved to South Carolina, and I've been trying to catch up since 2005 returns, and I am trying to get 2005, 6, and 7 taken care of, and I'm just all messed up. And my question is this. Will the IRS, under some circumstances, if you propose to pay them a lump sum toward what you owe them, not necessarily paying everything like the penalties and all that, but if you say, okay, I will pay you X number of dollars, will you take that, and can we, like, get this off of our plates? That's my question. Is that ever done with, like, somebody that maybe is a small potatoes guy like me that maybe owes, like, $5,000 or something?
The real answer to your question is, number one, before you talk to the IRS about any settlements, they want you to be compliant. In other words,
yes.
They're probably going to ask you to file from 07 forward. And the simple way to find out how to become compliant is just ask the IRS. They probably won't make you go back to the beginning of time.
Yeah.
Secondly, depending on your circumstances, if you owe $5,000and you're in your solid working career, they are not interested in entertaining an offer and compromise. Different than if you're at the end of your working career and you're disabled and not working, they are much more amenable to react positively to an offer and compromise.
Bill, does it make a difference if somebody like you or an enrolled agent or a CPA or a tax attorney makes the offer? $5,000 is not a huge amount. If it was $50,000, I think they'd probably be more inclined also to a settlement because they'd rather get $25,000 than nothing. But does it help having a professional do this? Because you might, well, yes or no, and then I can say the next thing.
Yes, because we know how to play the game.
Okay, but then the taxpayer has to pay you, so the savings might be a wash, whereas if it were a larger amount of money, like $15,000 or $20,000 or $30,000, and we're paying somebody like you, then it's a little bit of a better deal, right? Because we're paying your fees, but then you're getting the discount. Whereas with $5,000, that may not even work out right.
No, exactly. And the neat thing, especially about get transcripts, the federal debts time out after 10 years. So, in fact, you may just want to stall the IRS for a year or two, and they'll drop off of their own volition. So that's where our value add is, to know how the game is played.
That's perfect. Bill, will you come back in a couple of weeks with your team, and we'll answer some more tax questions?
We would be delighted.
All right. You stay tuned. I know that Crystal Wheeler, our executive producer, is going to be on the phone with you to chat a little bit about this. Thank you so much for this news with the IRS. Folks, I will put it up on Twitter. We'll tweet about it. If you're not already signed up for my free weekly newsletter, go to thinklink.com and sign up. We'll do a whole thing about this, interview Bill, and get the information out. This is the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. It is 12:25 on the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. It's time for our McDonald's Weekend Prize Pack. It includes a four-pack of tickets to the Atlanta Camping and RV Show, January 24th through the 26th at the Atlanta Expo Center South, and a four-pack of tickets to the Great American Motorcycle Show, January 24th through the 26th at the North Atlanta Trade Center in Norcross. Prize will be yours if you're the fifth caller. Call the prize pack line, 404-741-0750, 404-741-0750. Be nice to Crystal. She is going to be taking your call. And then I also want to let you know two things. Number one, WSB's Mark Arum is now on the air every weeknight, 10 to midnight. He's got live local talk every night, weeknight, News Talk WSB. And he's still going to be part of WSB's Triple Team Traffic. Triple Team Traffic each morning and back in place late night for the freeform local talk. So that all begins tomorrow on News Talk WSB. Way to go, Mark Arum. He is absolutely one of my favorites, and he's so fun to listen to. You will want to not miss this. So 10 to midnight, live local talk with Mark Arum. And then on Tuesday, there's a Clark Howard special I need to tell you about. Clark is now going to be doing, just on Tuesday at 4, the Target data breach. So we talked about this last weekend, and I told you that 70 million Americans have been taken advantage of, and maybe as many as 110, a full third of the whole country could have been affected. Well, now it turns out that even more companies have been affected, and so you may have had a double or even triple hit. What do you do to protect yourself moving forward? Clark is going to have all the information you need on what to do to protect your identity. So listen at 4 o'clock on Tuesday for a Clark Howard special. WSB, depend on it. I'm Elise Glink, Rebuilding America, one house at a time. Starting with yours, we'll be back in a moment with more on News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on anytime at ClarkHoward.com and midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
Six minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. 404-872-0750. I promise I am going to get to the Yahoo story about this couple's devastating loss and what happened when an arsonist torched their house and the lessons that you need to draw from that. But first, we have two Lisas online, so we're going to start with Lisa from Marietta. Lisa, welcome to the Elise Glink Show.
Hi, Elise. I just knew Crystal was going to let me win that package for holding the longest.
You have been. I give you great kudos.
Oh, just because I've been driving, Elise. But I just called on after church and caught the tail end of the insurance, the lady that called in. And she brought up good points. My brother is an independent insurance agent, so I look forward to asking him some questions. I know that insurance on our homeowners does cover lightning hitting our systems.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that experience twice, unfortunately, in two different
Wait,
homes.
Lightning has struck you twice?
Struck the appliances.
Oh,
it is very, very common now, and it has struck in two different homes of mine personally. Lightning has struck the HVAC system.
Wow.
I understand that that is pretty common, especially with the weather we've been having this last year. I had two units hit the same time. There's three in that home, and two were hit the same day. And lightning is hard for them to, distinguish that it's lightning, but very often when two systems are hit the same day, they definitely call that, an act of God, as lightning. But as far as an HVAC person, they say there's it's really hard to distinguish that. But anyway, I wanted to make a point with home warranties as a realtor and builder.
Mm-hmm.
Through the years, I have seen them to be very useful and very handy, though I've been guilty myself a few times by not having one. And I have a handful of rental properties, so I wanted to give you some very pertinent information that I've learned over the last year the hard way, and by not having a warranty on a home that I felt like was in great shape, you know, 5-6 years old,
mm-hmm.
and kind of a high-end property for rental, but I had commercial-grade appliances in that house. And, 2 weeks before I got this call, one of my, rental properties that's maybe $200,000, the refrigerator died. And it was 20 years old, so I just bought a $1,200 refrigerator and replaced it. When I replaced it, the gentleman said, "Oh, well, do you want a surge protector?" And I said, "Nah, I don't need, you know, I just thought he was trying to sell me a little extra at the counter there. And do you want a warranty?" "No, I don't want a warranty." And so he looked at me and said, "Ma'am, if you don't want to pay the money for our surge protector, I urge you to go straight and buy a surge protector before you plug this in." I said, "Well, why would I do that?" And he said, "Because all the appliances nowadays have computer boards in them,
mm-hmm.
especially your dishwashers and your refrigerators." And I said, "Okay, well, I think I've actually got an old surge protector." He said, "Well, this is another bit of information for you. Don't use an old surge protector. You should update your surge protectors every few years." I said, "Really?" So I did not listen to the gentleman.
That's great advice, by the way. I'm just going to jump in and say that is
yes.
that is great advice to update your surge protectors every few years. I wouldn't have thought of that. I'm thinking to myself, oh, I have to text Sam and see if we've done that. But anyway, carry on with your story.
On our computers. You know,
right.
If we have home computers, a few of us still have home computers, and our laptops are with us on the road. So, you know, mine is probably 10 years old through the different computers, you know. So I thought, well, that's, you know, interesting. So I didn't listen to him, and I had the refrigerator delivered to that rental property. And the following week, I had a call from the tenant in a higher-end property and said, "The refrigerator's not cooling." And I said, "Really? Okay, I'll run by, check it, and then make the call." So I checked it. It wasn't cooling. It was off about 15, 20 degrees in the refrigerator, and the freezer was off, but it was keeping things frozen. And within days, while I was trying to get a appliance repair person out, she called and she says, "We are down to coolers in the garage refrigerator. It's dead." So the gentleman came and checked it, and he said, "I've got bad news for you." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "I'm not sure that we can fix this refrigerator." And I said, "Really?" And this was $5,300 when I built the house 6 years ago.
So
and
what had happened?
The refrigerator was that expensive. And he said, "Well, believe it or not, there's no parts for this." And can I say a brand? I mean, it's a good brand.
Yeah, I don't care.
It was a nice KitchenAid.
Okay.
And I said, "Well, why couldn't I get a KitchenAid? I mean, that's, you know, a very common, good brand." And he said, "Well, believe it or not, the tsunami 2 years ago, Japan and China have most of our parts for our appliances. They make most of our parts. They're not made here in the United States." So he said, "Well, a tsunami 2 years ago wiped out the factory that makes the parts." And I said, "You've got to be kidding." I said, "Surely there's one in the United States." And he said, well, long story short, it took over 2 weeks. They could not find one. I, as a builder and agent, knowing so many places, I called everyone I could. Finally, one night late, some nice guy told me, I called someplace, and he said, "Have you ever called Angel Appliances in L.A.?" I said, "No." And so apparently they've been in business for almost 50 years, and they had one on their shelf. I needed a computer board. And the problem was lightning had struck this refrigerator
Have a surge protector.
No.
And it cost you 2 weeks of work to try and find a replacement, but you might not have found it at all. It's what you're really trying to get at.
Yes, and they were without a refrigerator for a month.
Poor people. Did you refund them money off their rent?
Pardon me?
Did you refund the money off of rent?
We gave them a little bit off.
Okay. So not having a new surge protector really could have helped you so much, and it didn't. And so, you know, this is really important. So are you saying, because I know that you called about home warranty. So is the point of all this to really talk about the helpfulness of a home warranty, because it would have covered this or it wouldn't have covered this?
Well, it would have covered this. And I found out this same refrigerator now is $8,300. So, as a landlord, and it's a commercial-grade refrigerator, think of the space. We could not go buy a $1,200 refrigerator and stick it in this hole.
Right.
And also, the appliance man said, you need, in a commercial-grade refrigerator, you have two outlets. So you need one for the freezer, one for the refrigerator. However, I've learned something recently as an agent. There are companies now, electrical companies, which I believe is an excellent deal. For $99, you can have a whole house surge protector put on your breaker box. And to me, that sounds like the best deal, because I believe it was about $40 for to buy surge protectors for that commercial-grade refrigerator. A typical one for an appliance like this, I believe, is more in the $15 to $20 neighborhood. But if you had the enlightenment we get here, I'm for the $99 whole house protection. It protects all your TVs, all your appliances.
And
the warranties are excellent.
Well, Lisa, this has just been great information. Thank you so much for calling in today.
Thank you, Elise. Enjoy your show.
Okay, thank you. And you enjoy your Sunday and your holiday week for sure. 44 minutes past the hour. That is awesome information. And a whole house surge protector is a great deal. That I think we have, not individual ones, but definitely worth checking. And I'm going to have to ask Sam, who seems to know everything about technology, what has changed with surge protectors that you would need a new one after all these years. 404-872-0750. All right, now we go to Lisa from Jonesboro, maybe the second most patient caller today after the Lisa from Marietta. Lisa, welcome to the program.
Hi, Elise. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What can I do for you today?
Well, I have a question concerning what my mom can do about her mortgage company.
Okay.
She's been living in a house in Jonesboro now for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
But recently, the mortgage company that she had been doing business with sold her mortgage to another company. Last year would have been her last year for paying on her mortgage. She only had two payments left. December would have been the last month, but come November, when she made her a payment like she normally do, she's never been late, she got a letter from a call from the mortgage company saying that they hadn't received her payment. And so this disturbed her, because she had written them a check. It hadn't gone through her account as far as she knew. So being 70 years old and starting to worry, she told them to go ahead and if they could, to debit her account and take the money out of her account. They said that they would do it. They even sent her a letter the next day verifying that that was what they were going to do and that they had gotten her permission. And here we are in December. She's getting another call from them saying that she was still late on her payment and that, you know, they needed the money. She started getting foreclosure letters saying that
she had two
payments left.
What were they doing selling her loan with just two payments left?
I don't know.
Okay, let's start naming names. What is the name of the original lender?
I think it was GMC.
GMAC?
Uh-huh, GMAC, yes.
Okay, and who did they sell it to?
They sold her mortgage to Green Tree Lending Company.
Oh, Green Tree. They're awful.
They are. And we didn't know this. I just found out here last week.
Have they continued with the foreclosure nonsense?
They have. And
okay.
When we've spoken
have you,
to...
Okay, I'm going to cut to the chase because we have to go to a commercial break in a moment.
Okay.
Have you called the Georgia Department of Banking and Finance?
I have not.
You must call them. Tomorrow's a holiday. You must call them Tuesday.
Okay, that's the
Georgia Department of Banking and Finance. They regulate all the lenders. The number, I'm going to give you the number that I have for them. I think it's still the number. 770-986-1633.
1633.
I want you to see if they have the ombudsman still on staff and talk to the ombudsman and tell him that Greentree is stealing your mother's house.
What?
That's what I want you to say, because it's going to get their attention, just like you. You sat up. You were like, what?
Okay.
She had two payments left.
Yes.
First of all, GMAC had no business selling the loan. Greentree has no business trying to take a house that is almost completely paid off and do this nonsense. So you're going to make that the first call.
Okay.
And you're going to talk to them, and they're going to step in. If they don't, even if they do step in, I want you to go to cfpb.gov. The Consumer Finance Protection Bureau.gov. And you can file a complaint with them there as well.
Okay.
And GMAC is also regulated, I believe, by the OCC. And you're going to go to helpwithmybank.gov. Helpwithmybank.gov.
Okay.
And you're going to file a complaint there and say to them right at the top, you're going to get a case number. At the top, you're going to say, Greentree is trying to steal my mother's house. You're going to write up what you just told me, and you're going to get a case number, and then I want you to go to questions@thinkglink.com, which is how you reach me, and you're going to send me that case number, and I'm going to follow up with the OCC directly. So let's quickly run over what you're going to do. Tuesday, you're going to go to the Georgia Department of Banking and Finance and speak to the ombudsman. Then you're going to go to the CFPB.gov, which you can do today, and you're going to file a complaint, and you're going to go to the OCC's website, helpwithmybank.gov, and you're going to file a complaint and mention that the loan was originally GMAC. There were two payments left, and then they sold it with two payments left to Greentree.
Okay.
And then you're going to go to questions@thinklink.com, send me the case number, and I'm going to follow up for you.
Okay.
Got it?
I think so.
Lisa, hang on a second. We need to do a quick news, weather, traffic, commercial break, and we'll come back and you can ask a follow-up question before the end of the show, all right?
Okay.
Stay tuned. All right, 50 minutes past the hour, we have to get to news. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. I'll be right back in a moment with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find Elise Glink live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. So we were on the phone with Lisa, and we were talking about how her mom had very nearly paid off the entire mortgage, had just two payments left, and then GMAC, which was her lender, sold the mortgage to Greentree with two payments left, which sounds like a total mistake and insane. And if there's somebody on listening who works for either GMAC or Greentree, you can contact me at questions@thinklink.com, thinkglink.com, and we'll see if we can work this out. But in the meantime, I've given Lisa a very specific set of instructions and things to do. So Lisa, again, just to go down the line, because there are probably other people hearing this who have had a similar experience. Number one, your first stop is the Georgia Department of Banking and Finance, which regulates lenders in the state of Georgia. Number two, they're open Tuesday. Number two, you want to go to cfpb.gov, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and file a complaint. Then you want to go to the OCC's website for consumers, helpwithmybank.gov, file a complaint there, tell them that Greentree is trying to steal your mother's house. It's not exactly true, but it's not untrue either. And then you're going to send me that information at questions@thinklink.com if you want me to follow up with the OCC directly. Do you have a follow-up question?
Well, Elise, actually, I need to clear something up. I made a mistake, and I do apologize. I said that she had two payments left with GMAC before they sold her mortgage. It was actually a year. She only had two payments with Greentree before she started having the problems.
She only had a year left
on
her mortgage, all my advice is exactly the same.
Okay.
So that, I thank you for clearing it up, but after you've paid your loan for 24 years or 25 years and you have one year of payments left, it's like having nothing. It is the same thing, and the same advice stands. So you follow all of those steps. Let me know how it goes, and I will report back to everybody next week. And if you are listening for the Yahoo story, which obviously I'm out of time for today, go to my Twitter feed, and I have tweeted out the link, and I will talk about this next week because there is so much good in the world that comes out of such tragedy, and I do want you to know about it. It is just absolutely amazing. All right, everybody, music's playing. It is 59 almost minutes past the hour. I gotta go. I'll be back next week on the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB.